Hello, thank you for learning with us today about bitachon. And this is Vad number 99, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara. It's Chaf Zayin Iyar, Tavshin Pei Dalid, June 4th, 2024. Thank you again so much, Mr. Jake Wyman and Mr. Mitch Green, for all of your Mesiras Nefesh and dedication. It's very much appreciated. The Orchos Tzaddikim continues taking us by the hand through the journey of bitachon. And he tells us the great rewards of bitachon and why a person is deserving of those rewards in this world and the next world. Avoteach b'Hashem yisparach, and the one who trusts in Hashem, mida tova gedola hima'od. It is a very great, good, wonderful trait. B'tzarech ha'adam tikkun gadol. A person needs a lot of preparation and work and development. Before he or she will come into the depth of bitachon, to really sink our teeth into it, to really be immersed in bitachon, we need a lot of work. We've been doing this, Bli Ayin Hara, for 99 times we've come together. And it is having an effect. Of course, that's what the Torah does to us. But it takes a lot of time, dedication, investment of emotions and intellectual energy. Avoteach be'elokim mezumen makabel chasid, says the Orchos Tzaddikim. The one who trusts in Hashem is prepared, and he can anticipate that he will receive kindness. He'll be the recipient of Hashem's generosity, and from people as well, through Hashem's will. K'dechsiv, as it's written, Tehillim Amud Beis, Pasuk Yud. Avoteach b'Hashem chesed yisov avenu. The one who trusts in Hashem, loving kindness will surround him, not just that he'll be a beneficiary and he'll receive chesed. It will surround him. It will encompass him. Below Amar Yisov Avenu El Abishvil, the only reason it said this lashon, which is so powerful, so emphatic, that chesed will surround the person, it's only because Asher Haboteach Torich Lifrotz Kama Fratzos She'enon Tovos Lo Ba'olam Hazeh. One who really places his trust in Hashem and relies on Hashem totally needs to breach a number of breaches that are not comfortable. They're not good for him. That's the language here in this world. What does that mean? In order to live a life of bitachon, a person needs to go out of his or her comfort zone at times. One has to trust in Hashem and not worry at the time that he is rebuking or guiding people. Let's say in a classroom, we present some kind of lesson from the Torah and it ruffles a few feathers. Or we work on helping people learn Torah and become proficient in it. And it could be that it is disturbing to them because it causes us to have to work. Even though sometimes one should be afraid of those people, naturally would have some anxiety. Lest they will damage him, they'll harm him, the gufo of a mamono, bodily or with his money. I think any person who's ever been in chinuch could understand this, but it applies to parents, but also to rabbeim and moros and teachers in a different way. When we try to join people with us in our quest for Torah and mastery of Torah's Hashem, sometimes there's some friction. It's called the melchamta shel Torah. It's the war of Torah because it's the good war. We're fighting the good battle. And that is we're kind of like marketing the product of Torah to show that we have this collective memory of Matan Torah, Torah Shebaksav, Torah Shebaalpeh, that Hashem spoke to us and gave it to us on Har Sinai, but not always does it go over smoothly. I remember, as I've mentioned before, in the early years of Chinuch, in the Chumash class that I had the Zuchus to teach, we were working on not only conceptual grasp and mastery of the content of Torah and the storyline and the halachos and the continuity, but we were also working on skill development, how to really understand the original text, to be functionally literate in Torah, in the original Lashon HaKodesh of what the Torah is about. And don't worry, this only happened one time. In the back of the classroom, somebody held up a sign. And it said, I hate this class. I was a little taken aback. And when I looked at this in retrospect, I realized that I guess I must have been accomplishing something, because it was creating a bit of friction when the demands are there and the expectations that we're going to learn to be proficient in the Chumash, in the Tanakh, in the Meforshim. And the person felt that she was being worked hard, and maybe too hard. Maybe she was in the wrong class. Later, of course, apologized. I also once got an email from someone who became very scholarly, very polished in Torah. And many of these students have gone on to become teachers and administrators, and I've heard so much feedback from them over the years, Baruch Hashem. But I once got an email from one of them who really became a star Torah learner and a teacher. And she said, "Dear Rabbi Hai, I want you to know that for the first 6 months of your class, I hated it." It's that word again, the hate word, because I was having to work so hard to know all the words and translations, the conjugations, the usage, the style of Lashon HaKodesh. But then I began to like it more and more. Baruch Hashem, she waited until maybe 8-9 months after the class began to write that for me. It's always a good lesson. Don't send an email if things might change, especially if it has negative feelings like that. Baruch Hashem, she was very wise enough to wait until things began to develop, and she began to realize that this is growing on me because I am growing through it. But the Orcha Tzadikim says, if a person is turned inside out by those types of experiences, that's going to compromise his or her bitachon. So we need to activate and employ our bitachon energies to make it through these ordeals. Tarech lira mehem. And that perhaps is what he means, that a person who's in a position to direct others in the way of Torah, especially if it has to do with admonishing or like a rav, especially in a shul, that person has something sometimes possibly to be a little bit afraid of, a little apprehensive. V'gam tzarech l'yoeish mikrovav u'me'ohavav. This is a frightening statement by itself. A person who trusts in Hashem needs to be mishyaish, needs to give up from his relatives and from his loved ones? Huh? What are you talking about? Oh, the hishyaish doesn't mean to give up on them. Chas v'shalom, we never give up on people. Did you notice that he said, l'his yo'esh mi krovav, not l'his yo'esh al krovav? That's a totally different concept. We don't give up on people. But sometimes a person needs to despair from or to give up, maybe more appropriately translated as to realize there's a need for space and a bit of detachment from one's relatives and friends, not to be dependent on other people's approval and emotions, what some people want to call a codependency, whatever word we want to use. To have bitachon in Hashem, what I need to do is realize that I can't be dependent on relatives to always smile and always feel well and always say hello and always be there for me. That is not realistic. It is not fair. And it won't get me very much success, because Zedodi v'Zerei, as it says in Sirah Shirim, Hashem is my ultimate relative and friend. Of course I love my relatives and they love me. Of course we have a close relationship. Of course there's affection. It's all true. But I'm not supposed to depend on those charm, those relationships for my peace of mind. And if they're not perfect, I will be turned inside out, and it will move me away from concentrating on Torah and mitzvot. It's not supposed to be that way. And there are other cases also that we should definitely not attach ourselves and connect ourselves to relatives and friends. Shelo yishtatef imahem, says the Orach HaTzadikim. This is all part of bitachon, not to join with them kishe'enam holchim b'derech tova, when they're not going in the proper path. I mean, I shouldn't say, well, it's my relative, it's my brother, it's my sister, it's my child, it's my parent. So therefore, I have to be aligned with them in whatever they're doing. No, I need to be aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that will go against what a relative expects of me, then I have to prioritize Hashem and hope that the smoke will clear and that we'll reconcile that connection and relationship. When push comes to shove, I have to stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also not to flatter them. Now, by the way, he didn't say not to praise them. Of course, we're supposed to praise people. You might be familiar that the Chaim says very clearly that when a person speaks of someone's praise, the person fulfills the ahavta le'recha kamocha. You're loving someone like yourself. We're not talking about excessive praise or praise in public that could lead to lashon hara. That would be called the dust of lashon hara. Praising someone in public sometimes is a problem. We're saying to speak positively about people and to people to the proper degree is something we're supposed to do, but we're not supposed to flatter. What does flatter mean? That's lo sachnifo es ha'aretz, parshas maseh, like the Gemara Sota says, kat chanefim. What is a chanef? A chanef is the one who says to someone else, oh, it's okay what you're doing. It's okay if you're saying lashon hara. It's okay. It's not so bad if you're whatever the person's doing wrong. That's chanufa. But there's a tendency to want to flatter because I want to be in good standing with people. As the Chafetz Chaim says, especially with one's boss or employer, very big yetzahara, that if my employer, Baruch Hashem, I have never had such a problem, but if my employer would want to tell me lashon hara, so the yetzahara says, I better not contradict or stop or hesitate because I better agree with the person because maybe my job will be at stake. Lo yachanif lahem. If I really have bitachon, I will not be falling into the trap of winning a popularity contest that goes against halacha and to not flatter other people. And the flattery we're talking about is condoning, endorsing things that are not according to halacha, actions that are not proper. Well, if I'm lacking bitachon, chas v'shalom, then easily I will be pulled into that because I'm worried about the person's view of me. So if I really have bitachon, I won't fall prey to that. As I once heard from Rabbi Moshe Miller, Shlita, he said, don't fall into the trap of trying to win a popularity contest. If you become popular or you have a good reputation, it says in Avos, a shame tov, it's important to have a good reputation. We're not talking about fame. We're talking about a positive reputation. The people who know me, maybe it's only a couple of people who know me, but I should have a positive reputation, a good name. Like it says in Kohelet, tov, shame, yishem, and tov. You have something called a shame tov. It says in an Avos about a shame tov. It's important to have a positive reputation and relationship with people, but popularity is not what my goal is if it goes against the Torah. I have to have enough bitachon, enough sophistication to realize that I have to stay aligned with Hashem, keep the train on the tracks, and don't be concerned with the peripherals, which is that people should love me. Everybody should love me and respect me. It is not always going to happen that way if I'm doing the Avodas Hashem properly. We do ask in the morning, B'chein, u'l'chesed, u'l'rachamim, be'enecho u'be'enecho ro'enu. Doesn't that contradict what I just said before? No. As Rav Moshe Feinstein has a theme that nisyonos are true, challenges are a reality, and they help lift us up, and they elevate us, and they help us grow, but we don't look for them. So therefore, I'm allowed to ask, and in fact, I need to request each morning, Sitneinu, Hashem, place us, L'cheinu l'chesed l'rachamim b'einechu b'einecho ro'enu. It's okay to ask that Hashem, please let me be favorable in the eyes of people with whom I interact. That's okay. That's very valid. But not always is it possible. I can request that from Hashem and have bitachon that it will happen to the degree that I need for my performance. As the Maseilas Yesharim also says, this is totally dependent on the person. Some people have a very thick skin. Some people have a very thin skin and they can't handle that much conflict with people. We should ask Hashem always that and trust in Hashem that he'll give us the proper dose of conflict, if I may, that we might have in life. Gam tzarech la'azov harbe asokim ba'olam hazeh. The Aruch HaTzadikim continues. In order to reach the level of bitachon that is proper for us, a person needs to leave many involvements, activities in this world that might detract him or her from doing the Ratzon Hashem. I have a tendency toward this. I have a craving for this. I have a taiva for this. I have a lust for that. All of those things, they can sometimes be channeled in the right direction and used properly, but sometimes it's la'azov. We have to not do certain things. That is all part of the bitachon package. I will be okay if I don't do it. I will be fine if I don't indulge in that amount of whatever or in that activity. Ulafanos libo mehavle ha'olam. And to turn one's thoughts and emotions and hearts from the vanities, from the silly things of the world, those that distract us. Again, we have to realize our brains get tired. We need to do things for recreation, for relaxation. Yes, yes, yes. Of course, it could be many hours a day for some people. It could be days going away on a vacation, whatever it is. But that is not supposed to be our main focus. Lefanos libo mehavle ha'olam. We need to be vigilant to turn our thoughts and hearts and emotions away from the futilities of the world, those distractions, the lasok b'Torah, and to immerse ourselves, to toil in Torah, to labor in Torah. That's what we're supposed to be immersed in constantly. Of course, with those needed rest time and vacation type of activities we have to do in the middle. But that's in order to get back and to serve Hashem with the meat and potatoes of Avodas Hashem, Torah and Mitzvos. Bezet tzarich bitachon gadol. In order to reach this level and have this as my plan, this needs a lot of trust in Hashem. I have an agenda. The agenda is that I'm going to focus. I'm going to try to focus. And I'm going to try to remain consistent with Avodas Hashem. Ubavur Kane, Omar Akasuv. And because of this need to do all this, to have bitachon, the pasuk said, Chesed Yisro Bavenu, kindness will surround that person, will encompass that person who trusts in Hashem. Habateach Bashem, Chesed Yisro Bavenu. He's so deserving of kindness and benevolence and generosity because of all of the efforts that the person puts in to reaching this level of all the ingredients necessary for bitachon. Our chassadikim continues. He's now going to go back and discuss emuna. Abitachon e efter below emuna. It is impossible to trust in Hashem, which means to have a positive and optimistic outlook on life and to rid oneself of anxiety or to have controls over one's apprehension and worry and anxiety. It's impossible to reach that emotional state below emuna without the intellectual state of emuna. And that's more intellectual and cognitive. That's a realization. That's a knowledge that Hashem exists. So we say, of course Hashem exists. Everybody knows that. First of all, not everybody realizes it or allows themselves to realize it. Very hard to deny. Hashem is very conspicuous in our lives. But it's also easy to forget that Hashem exists, that Hashem is actually involved intimately in everything that's going on, and he's omnipotent and omnipresent. Dechiv, as it's written, Tehillim, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'yivtechu v'cha, and they will trust in you. Who will trust in you? Yod Eish Demecha, those who know your name. The knowing of Hashem's name is the cognitive, the intellectual understanding that Hashem exists. The yiftichu v'cha is implementing that amunah. When it comes to how we behave, how we feel, and how we think, because people who know Hashem's great name, they know of Hashem's existence, they study the world, they study Torah, and they see Hashem through the Torah. Umakirim gedulasto ugevurasto. Those who recognize Hashem's greatness and his might, which is part of emunah, b'ma'aminim, b'chol lev, those who believe with a full heart and understand that Hashem exists, osam yecholim liftoach bo, those are the people who are able to trust in Hashem. V'yiftechu v'cha, yodei shemecha, those who know your name can trust in you. Then it becomes something practical. It changes the way I think. My whole mindset, my whole emotional set changes. When I have this emunah, meaning the awareness of Hashem's existence, then step two, that impacts how I live my life from day to day, that I do not experience this anxiety, or at least I know how to work through it. I might experience it because I have it by nature. Remember we've said my dominant element of creation inside me might be offer, like Rav Volpe brings from Rav Chaim Vital that we've discussed before. So maybe I was born, as I said, I was born like a bundle of nerves, but by the time I reach 120, I want to be a bundle of joy. So I might have a tremendous tendency toward anxiety, depression, worry. But I work on emunah, the awareness, the thought process of knowing that Hashem exists. And I really delve into it and master that to the degree I can, then I have the tools to go to next level, which is to activate the bitachon energy and those powers to deal with everything that I deal with. And we've said that has to do with parnasa, relationships, and health, mainly. The Orach HaTzaddikim tells us that trust, which is the emotional, but also the intellectual implementation of a proper positive attitude, which is the global, all-encompassing understanding and belief that Hashem exists and is intimately involved in our lives, those two concepts are shutafim. They're partners. Im ein emuna, ein bitachon. It's a prerequisite also, not just a partner. If there's no faith, if there isn't that development of one's brain power to understand that Hashem exists, then there won't be an ability to have this bitachon, to alter, to modify one's behavior, to act and to think in a positive way. How important is emunah? That's what the Orach HaTzaddikim will discuss now. V'ho emunah, hi rosh ha-Torah. It's the beginning of the Torah. Yechsiv, as it's written in the Aseres HaDibros, Shmos, Herakhaf, Pasik Beis, Pasik Gimel, in Parshas Yithro, Onochi Hashem Elokecha. It's the first mitzvah about believing that Hashem exists, the first of the Dibros, I should say. Hashem says, I am Hashem, your God. And then it says, Lo Yehelecha Elohim Acherim. You shouldn't have any other perceived deities. And as I've heard from great people, in this day and age, especially, people are idolized sometimes, and things are idolized, and all different types of ideas and activities are idolized. And those are the Elohim Acherim for us. We can enjoy them, but we're not supposed to make them, to deify them. Don't make them into other gods. Imlo ma'amin ma'atoel toraso, says the Orach HaTzaddikim. If a person doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and intellectually delve into Hashem's existence, then what will a person's Torah help anything? Meaning there are people who learned a lot of Torah, but they didn't work on their midos. The Baalei Musar talks so much about this. There were kings like Achav, Menashe, Yeravam. They were not Amei Ha'aretz. They were not ignorant of Torah. But they didn't work on themselves enough. Their emuna, their midos, their bitachon. Ovizman sha'adamam in me'omek halev. And when a person believes and understands from the depth of the heart, that the Creator will in fact fulfill everything that's written in the Torah that we received as a nation on Har Sinai, to bring consequences to the sinner and to pay beautiful, wonderful reward for those who fulfill it. But by the way, it's the immediate reward, the satisfaction, the spiritual and physical gratification of keeping the mitzvot properly and learning Torah. When a person goes ahead and realizes this, that it's a reality of Shomer HaTorah, then the person has the tools and is equipped to keep the Torah. This is why he's saying that Emunah is the Rosh HaTorah. He called Haganovim HaGazlanim, burglars and robbers. Why did they do what they do? If they would know for sure that they would be executed or punished for their theft, their thievery, and their robbery, and they would not have the ability to escape, then they would hold back from doing what they're doing. It's an analogy, obviously. All the burglars and robbers, why do they do what they do? They have a different kind of bitachon. They trust that they're going to be saved, that they're going to escape. That's what they do, whatever they want to do. It's the same thing with the sinner. If he would believe for sure that there are consequences for what he or she does, he would not commit that avera. Let's think about Ben Adam Machavero, especially if a person would think, I'm upset at this person, I'm about to insult him or lash back, but wait, maybe that will harm our relationship and I'll have to apologize later. If a person would think about that for a moment, then the person would hold back, would refrain from saying something insulting. What is the Aruch HaTzaddikim telling us? If we think about ramifications, about positive consequences, and also the opposite, Chas V'Shalom, if we would stop and think and be patient, but also we have generally developed our understanding and faith in all of this reality, then we would behave differently. That's why it's all depending on emuna. Lachain kol haTorah kula kalula ba'emuna. The whole entire Torah is included in, it's encompassed by the concept of emuna, which we said before is a shuta and a prerequisite. It's a partner and also a requirement to reach bitachon, which is our goal. Kidachsiv, as it is written, Chavakuk, Perak Beis Pasik Dalid, Bitzadik, and a righteous person, Emunasa Yechya, will live by his faith. That's how a person makes it through. It's emuna. If I ever feel I'm hanging on by a thread, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this crisis, Chas V'Shalom, or this stress that I'm in. It could be relationships, it could be parnasa, and it could be health, including emotional health. Emunasa Yechya. How? Emunah is going to hold me through. That's how. Because I know ultimately that Hashem is here. I know this. It's cloudy right now. It's difficult. It's obscured to see. There's Hester upon him. But I know. I want to talk about the word tzaddik for a minute. So it sounds like the pasuk in the Treyaser in Chabakuk, Beis Daud, is talking about a tzaddik. Oh, a righteous person. The one who's very saintly and pious. But we have to remember that there's another very important translation for the word tzaddik. Like in Parshas Kisetze, for example, it says, "Vitzidku es tzaddik v'yeshu, vitzidku es tzaddik v'yeshu es harasha." And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah talks about tzaddikim gemurim. What is the other meaning for tzaddik? Tzaddik is a person about whom it has been declared and pronounced that he will live, that he should continue living. There's many proofs to this, meaning that his judgment is tilted toward the positive, toward the tzedek, and he's surviving, living, existing, continuing to serve Hashem, to breathe, to live, to function. That's also a tzaddik. It's a different dimension, a different translation of tzaddik. So we have to realize it's not just tzaddik, the righteous person, the pious person lives with his faith. Any person who is alive, tzaddik, b'tzdikus tzaddik, it's the one declared innocent, meritorious, worthy of living. Anyone who's worthy of living and is therefore breathing and is here right now, and is taking 8,409,600 breaths per year, that is a tzaddik. He's living. Emunasa yechya will only survive through emun. The meaning of this pasuk, though, it definitely needs some investigation. And as you might know, the last blot in the Gemara Makos, Chof Dalet Amud Aleph, quotes this pasuk. It's a sugya about how over the generations, people were able to handle less and less and to approach the Torah through more narrow avenues in order to grasp the whole thing. And at the end of it, it says, Chavaku came and he said, you want to get through to Hashem and to keep the Torah? Do it through Emunah. So Emir Tz Hashem, the next time we learn, it's going to be Erev Yontif Shavuos Emir Tz Hashem, a week from today. It will be Vad number 100, Baruch Hashem L'Yayin Hara, Erev Kabbalah Satorah, and we're going to discuss this pasuk about Emunah and how apropos it is for Shavuos when we heard that mitzvah we just talked about today, near Seres Adibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Thank you so much for learning with us, and Emirat Hashem will continue next week to talk about Emunah and then ultimately more about Bitachon and Simcha. Thank you.